You may remain seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin a series of sermons for this month, which are drawn from Mark's Gospel, each one dealing in some way with the kingdom of God. And what we mean when we say the kingdom of God is we're talking about God's ruling activity, his reign among human beings here on earth. This begins with our text that we just read from Mark chapter 3, where Jesus has been casting out demons and now comes into conflict. Let us pray. O Lord, open our ears to hear and our heart to believe all that you have spoken. Amen. Many people, when they hear the phrase, a house divided, think more often of Abraham Lincoln. In a famous speech by Lincoln, he addressed the Illinois State Assembly with this phrase. The issue he was discussing was slavery. And his argument was that the Union couldn't have it both ways. You couldn't have one state that was a slave state and another state that was a free state, but that it needed to be all one or all the other. And so he says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I believe this government cannot endure permanently half slave and half free. I do not expect the Union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all one thing or all the other. What many don't realize is that Lincoln was quoting the Bible. That phrase, a house divided cannot stand, was actually first spoken by Jesus. And when Jesus was talking, he was talking on a much bigger scale than even Lincoln. He was talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Today we'll be looking at this reign of God and how it brings division when it appears, but how it also stands united. And we'll see how this impacts us in three areas of life, in our nation, in our families, and in ourselves. Jesus was no stranger to controversy. It seemed that everywhere he went, there was some sort of controversy. From the beginning of Mark's gospel, we find this happening, whether he's healing a man who's sick, or he's forgiving somebody's sins, or in our text here, he's casting out demons. It would draw the attention. As many crowds were interested, so also were the religious leaders. They wanted to know what was going on. And we find them sending a delegation all the way from Jerusalem to come up to Galilee, which would take at least a day or two to make that journey, to see what's going on with this man from Nazareth. The issue they're confronting is that he's been casting out demons. Some say he's crazy. Some say he has a demon himself. Because they look at him almost as a sorcerer, some sort of wizard that's conjuring up the work of demons. Because how else could he have power over Satan? No man can have that kind of power. But Jesus is ready with an answer. So what about us? Are we ready with an answer? Because in America, we're no stranger to controversy either. Whether it's abortion or same-sex marriage, we live in a nation that's divided. How long will we be divided? You know, the issue of same-sex marriage probably won't remain a state-by-state question forever. That eventually, like Lincoln said, it'll become all one thing or all the other. Are we ready to give an answer? Because these issues, like slavery, are issues of rights. But that's where we're divided. Whose rights are we talking about? the rights of a woman over her own body, the rights of an infant to his own body, or the rights of God to tell us what we're to do with our bodies. We read in Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves." A house divided cannot stand. So what will we become? Well, Jesus has an answer. And His answer is to cast out Satan by His word, to bring His kingdom into our lives and cast out everything that's evil or contrary to God's word. And He shows that it's in His word that His kingdom will reign and it will stand united against all that opposes it. Now, we're not going to see this in our nation because God's kingdom is hidden and it comes to us in His word and in His Holy Spirit. But we do know that where we're listening to His word, His kingdom will remain united in the truth. So that kingdom of God can bring division in our nations, but it keeps us united to the truth. But what about our families? I imagine that during the Civil War, there were some families who were divided. Maybe you had a family sitting down to dinner, and the father owns his own slaves. And he believes that each state should have the right to make this decision for themselves. And maybe he treats his slaves well, but he's got a daughter who disagrees with this topic. She believes that every individual should have their own civil rights, that everyone should be treated equally, and nobody should be thought of as property. Imagine the conversations that went on over that dinner table. I wonder what arguments Jesus had over his dinner table. Probably not many as a child. He probably was pretty quiet, fading into the background, well-behaved, not getting into too much trouble. But now all of a sudden, he's getting into trouble. And this makes his family take notice. Now all of a sudden, he's this public figure who's come out and he's drawing huge crowds to himself. The same Jesus they knew as a little boy, who probably wasn't involved or very popular at all. I wonder what the conversations would go like. Well, here they're saying he's out of his mind. They think he's crazy. And they're trying to draw him away from his work as Christ. They're trying to draw him back to his family, where he belongs, and stop getting into all this business with the religious leaders and what's going on in Galilee. When the kingdom arrives, it brings division. When it touches our families, our churches, it brings division. There's no neutral ground when it comes to the gospel. When the kingdom comes, when the word is proclaimed, it's either all one or all the other. And that's what divides our dinner table. And maybe that's something you've experienced in your family. Not everybody believes exactly the same thing. Not just politically, but religious. There's different points of view, different opinions, and you can't seem to come to an agreement. The word will bring division. And it will make it challenging for us and our families to continue to hold on to the truth. But this has been going on since the beginning. Adam and Eve experienced the very same thing you're going through because God said it in the curse against Satan. I will put hostility between you and the woman, between Satan and Eve, between the father and lie of lies and the woman of faith. And this is going to create conflict throughout the whole history of mankind. Cain and Abel, Esau and Jacob, it's been going on. So what will keep our families united? Well, Jesus has an answer. Where that power of the kingdom has come to us, the kingdom will remain united. And the best we can do is just to keep sharing that word. Keep bringing the Word of God into our families, into our homes. Use it to drive out what is evil and cling to what is good. Don't leave your faith here in the pews, but bring it with you when you go home. For Jesus says, "Who is my mother or my brothers?" He looks around him as this holy halo that surrounds him of those who have been drawn to him to hear his word, and he looks out over this congregation and he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters." The kingdom of God brings division, but it stands united. And it keeps getting closer, closer and closer to what's dear to us. It begins with our nation in a pretty broad sweeping effect, and then it comes into our families and households, and ultimately it is driving after what is most important to God, and that is your heart. To come into your very heart. It tears us apart. Abraham Lincoln was not the first famous figure to quote this passage. In fact, many centuries earlier, there was a famous church father who quoted this passage. He was the bishop of a city in northern Africa, and his name was Augustine. Augustine was a famous church father who became a Christian as an adult, and he wrote many things that were very helpful to Christians in his day and all the way on down through the centuries. And he wrote a book called The Confessions. It talked about his experience of coming to faith and what it was like to be a Christian. He described it as being torn apart. "My inner self was a house divided against itself. I was held back, not by fetters put on me by someone else, but by the iron bondage of my own will. The enemy held my will and made a chain out of it and bound me with it. From a perverse will came lust, and slavery to lust became a habit. And the habit, being constantly yielded to, became a necessity. These were like links hanging each to each, and they held me fast." He was a house torn apart, divided. With these words, he's describing what repentance really is like. A house divided. On the one hand, we know what we wish we were, and on the other hand, we discover what we've been. The Holy Spirit has come, and we know we should be either all one thing or all the other, and we're torn apart. We wrestle with the strong man who's come in to bind us. You try to tell yourself you can overcome it, you can do it on your own, that with enough willpower you can make things different, do what's right. But the more and more you strive to do what is good, the tighter and tighter he seems to hold on to you. And the stronger you think you are, the stronger he becomes. There we go, bound hand and foot. He's got us. We're bound hand and foot all the way to Calvary. The strong man gloats. He celebrates. He puffs out his chest and he flexes his muscle because he thinks he's got us. He's got Jesus bound hand and foot in all weakness, all helplessness, nobody left to come to his aid. And he thinks he has the victory. But little does he know. Little does he know as he's planning all these things to have the scribes come and plot against Jesus and take him to the cross, that ultimately that meekness he's seeing is God's strength. And that death that Christ is going through is God's victory. Little does he know that the one bound hand and foot will destroy death and Satan forever. So he says, "No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house." Jesus, helpless, without strength, bound to the eternal guilt and condemnation of our sins, has actually rendered Satan helpless. Because there's nothing left at this point. There's nothing left for the devil to accuse us of. There's no lust or temptation that can take Jesus down from the cross because Jesus died. There was nothing left to tempt him with. And he did it all willingly. And it took all the power of Satan away from him to hold guilt against you. What was the greatest evil was also the greatest good, and nothing could surpass it. And Satan was plundered in Christ's resurrection. Christ had rendered him completely helpless, and he plundered him. Went into his stronghold and took out those who once belonged to Satan. Came and grabbed you and rescued you, pulling you out and bringing you into that glorious forgiveness of Christ, which has taken away every one of your sins. As Jesus says, all sins of the Son of Man have been forgiven. All sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter, it has been forgiven. This is evidence that you have not committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. Because you're not calling Jesus unclean. You're not looking at Jesus and trying to take him away from his work of redemption. This is what you treasure. This is what you praise and give thanks for. That's how you know you haven't committed that sin against the Holy Spirit. Because you are torn apart. You are old man and new man. And God is doing this work. So that you would know in your weakness, in your helplessness, Satan has no power over you. Because it's when you've given up on yourself that God takes over. And that is our comfort. That is where we're united and Jesus is our King. That is where we realize we can't be divided on this issue. And a house divided cannot stand. And we can't serve two masters. And we can't cling to what is evil and cling to what is good at the same time. Instead, we are united in his kingdom with a desire to do what is righteous, to serve him all our days. And if you feel torn apart, that's a good thing. Because there is where the gospel brings us to the cross. It kills us, it conquers us, and it brings us to life. Life everlasting. The kingdom does bring division. In our nation, in our families, and even in ourselves. But we know it stands united in the end. And in Christ we have become all one thing. No longer slaves, but free. Perfectly righteous, holy, and innocent in God's eyes for Jesus' sake. Amen.